Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I hate the media. Just do a better job, media. So the story I had yesterday, I don't remember who it was, Post, Times, I don't know who. It's been there for over 100 years. 187 years. That is over 100 years, you're right. But there's, you know, big difference. For 187 years, practically the entire existence of our country, this Thomas Jefferson statue has peered down on the people of City Hall as they do their work. But they voted yesterday to get it out of there because Thomas Jefferson was a slaveholder, so we can't have him there. It doesn't matter if he wrote the Declaration of Independence, if he was responsible for doubling the size of America, if go down the list of all the things. If he established, he practically alone, along with Madison, establishing the separation of church and state in this country, which is a radical idea the world had never seen before. Doesn't matter if he was involved in that because he was a slaveholder. So it doesn't matter the efforts he made to try to get slavery abolished in his own state and then in the country, but was not able to do it. If you're a fan of history, you know why. Maybe we'll get into that with Tim Sander for later. But doesn't none of that matters. He's got to go.
The stupidity or the egotism of it. It's hard to pick a favorite because it's just this whole story is running thick with both. The stupidity, not knowing any of those things you just said, not understanding that that was the state of the world. Slavery was ubiquitous. It was all over the place. And just the ideas about race, it was hundreds of years ago. That's just the way people thought. And then the egotism of it, which, you know, almost nobody talks about this except Bill Maher, who joins me in this. You're not better than Thomas Jefferson. You just came after him in a different time. Don't sit there. The implied statement is, I am better and more pure than Thomas Jefferson. I can judge him. I will shun his statue. I will have it torn down because he was not as morally upstanding as me. That's what all of those people are saying with their stupid, stupid misunderstanding of history.
If you, we're going to have Tim Sandifer on, Tim the lawyer, longtime friend of the show. I was stewing about this yesterday because the... Now that we're into taking down statues of the founding fathers, wow. I was stewing about this yesterday, and it just popped into my head that there's hardly a better defender of Thomas Jefferson I know of than Tim Sandifer, so we texted him, and he's going to be on the show a little bit later to talk about Thomas Jefferson. But go to YouTube and just type in the search bar Christopher Hitchens Thomas Jefferson, because he wrote a book about Thomas Jefferson, and he's given a bunch of amazing speeches. Supporting TJ. No right-winger Christopher Hitchens, by the way. But one of the things he pointed out, he said Thomas Jefferson had slaves, and he goes through that whole thing, and a lot of the founding fathers of the South did. He said, People leave out all the New York businessmen who, while they didn't have slaves, because they wouldn't have been able to profit from it, because there's no way you're going to grow cotton in the New York area, the number of slave traders that became rich from New York that get glossed over by history. There were plenty of people involved in that horrible, horrible thing, slavery, at the time. Overlooking that is easier. Some of these city council people, you know, we learned during, what was it recently that we learned that, oh, the election that went so poorly in New York. The reason they had so much trouble counting all the votes is all the people involved in the election committee are all cousins and grandmothers and kids and stuff like that. Such a patronage thing. But I'm sure there are plenty of people in power in New York today. You can trace their lineage back to people that were slave traders, if not slave holders.
Right.
But they lived in a different time, as Joe just pointed out.
So what's going on here, you might ask? Well, I would quote Orwell, George Orwell from 1984. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right.
They did that in roughly 1790 in France, and it didn't go well. Lots and lots of people died, and it was very, very violent period for quite a while before basically a dictator came along, Napoleon, to settle things down. Is that what we want? Everything to just go to hell? Absolutely fall apart? I hope not. Anyway, the fact that they're bringing down a Thomas Jefferson statue from, you know, the Confederate statues. Okay, I get it. Get your argument. Makes perfectly good sense.
Then sure. Do we need a 50-foot Robert E. Lee in Richmond? Probably not.
Columbus. Okay, I get it. I don't think it's bothering anybody that you got Columbus there at the corner of your park. I don't think it makes... But okay, fine. But when you're getting into the founding fathers of the last best hope of the world, as Barack Obama tweeted out yesterday, the founding fathers that created that, when you're starting to tear them down, that's a big deal. And this statue standing in City Hall, in our biggest city, New York, just amazing.
It's impossible to know, but how many of the folks do you think who voted for that sincerely believed, well, you know, Jefferson was a bad guy because he owned slaves? And how many of them were just terrified of the extremist left, the elitist extremist left, the cancel culture?
I think it's absolutely the latest. They couldn't be on the wrong side of that.
Yeah, I wonder, is it a 2-to-1? Is it a half and half? Is it 10% of them actually thought Jefferson should go and 90% of them were terrified? I'd like to know.
Here's Barack Obama's tweet yesterday. He was talking about Colin Powell, but it's important, I think, that he said it. Barack Obama tweeted out, for all the battles he fought and problems he solved, talking about Colin Powell, Michelle and I will always look to General Powell as an example of what America and Americans can and should be if we wish to remain the last best hope of Earth. So he quoted Colin Powell, but included that phrase. Barack Obama believes the United States is the last best hope of Earth. He's right. And the people that created that should not have their statues taken down.
Because they were typical of their period,
that's
to a large extent.
That's a black guy, by the way, that tweeted that out yesterday.
Okay? Obama!
That's right, Hank.
I do wish, and I wish Colin Powell, with all the gravitas he had as a you know, a black guy had become so successful in this country, I wish he'd have weighed in more on these issues. I wish Barack Obama would weigh in more on these issues. Spend a little of your capital. I know it would upset some of your friends that are going to come to your cool 70th birthday party that you throw, but, you know, take some of that capital you've got and jump into some of these conversations, Barack Obama, because I don't believe he thinks that's a good idea to bring down the Thomas Jefferson statue. Jump into some of these and spend some of that political capital. I wish they would.
Yeah. Yeah. Here. Before we go too much further down this road, it's a bad road. Sometimes you find yourself further down a road than you think and you can't turn around anymore.
You know what I paid for my extension cord? No, it's a heavy duty. I'm a big believer in the heavy duty extension cord.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. They cost a lot more.
How long is it?
It's a 50 footer.
Oh, that's a serious cord.
Yeah.
Orange?
Yellow, bright yellow.
Okay, I can accept yellow.
Does it light up at the end when you plug it in? You know what I'm talking about?
I think it does, yeah.
Really? That's a little fancy for my taste. Well, go on.
I love that because you don't have to get some sort of outlet tester to know your outlet's working if you plug something in and it's not running. Okay, do I have electricity? Well, you know, because it lights up.
Yeah,
this is a serious cord.
You say so.
with tax? About $100 freaking dollars.
No, stop it.
I'm not.
Holy.
It's the only one they had. At a big hardware store of national name, I won't mention.
You are blanking kidding me.
I know.
Jeez Louise, I'm stunned by this.
And I said, that's a $100 extension cord with tax? He said, yeah, it's the only one we got, and we don't know when we're going to get more. The supply chain thing, all those container ships, I went through the portage yesterday. If you want me to go through it again, I will.
More port talk. People really, the emails just lit up. Everybody loved it.
One of those ships has enough to fill three malls. That's how much stuff is on those ships, and they're just sitting out there.
Do railroad yards next, Uncle Jack.
Okay, I'll shut up about Thomas Jefferson and ports while.
No, that's, but we got to talk about Jefferson. We have to. My God, it's important. I'm telling you, so that cord story, it's chilled me to the bone. I mean, what's it going to cost to get a pair of running shoes?
Well, now you grab your little package of bacon, and it's $9 freaking dollars to fry up a little bacon.
I gotta start raising hogs. Judy, if you're listening, check the Homeowners Association rules. See if we can raise hogs.
How many hogs are you allowed to have?
Well, right. Right. And you know what? I'll have half a dozen hogs in my backyard. Somebody complains, I'll say they're dogs. Those are my dogs. They look like pigs to me. Yeah, well, mind your own business.
Bigot. They identify as hogs.
Exactly. They're pork retrievers.
Our text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
Armstrong, he's Joe Getty, we're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Are you tired of gulping down the lying filth of the mainstream media? Yeah, we are too. We try to tell you the truth every single day.
Gulping down lying filth. Wow.
Nobody wants to sound dumb. Our goal is to help you not sound dumb. We'll inform you, and it'll be fun at the same time. You have to choose between entertainment and information. Combine them both with the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty On Demand. 4 episodes available every day
via the iHeartRadio app or wherever you download your podcasts.
This is kind of a multi-step process, but hang with me. Ultimately, this is about the United States. I came across a really interesting piece in the Washington Post that they're one of the political parties and one of the big stars of that right-wing political party, whatever that means in India, and it means something quite different there. But he's proposed a two-child maximum, a bill pushing for smaller families. Because India has an exploding population. In fact, they're going to pass up China, they think, in 2027, right around the corner in terms of population.
Didn't realize that. India's going to be the biggest country in the world in a few years. Okay.
That's what they say. But if you dig a little deeper, it has to do with the belief among a lot of Hindus in India that the Muslim population is exploding, particularly in that part of India that this guy's talking about. And that though they are a minority, soon they will take over and they will force, the forced marriages. And there are all sorts of predictions and like boogeymen and stuff. Some with a tie to reality, some fairly unhinged in the way that sort of tribal thing happens. I'll tell you right now, Hindus were 84%. In 10 years ago, they're now 80%. Muslims have increased by 4.2%.
To what?
And, to 14.2%.
So 14% of a country with 1 billion people is 140 million people.
Correct. Yeah. It's worth observing.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And they compare it to some American, demographic trends, which I think is silly for reasons that I'm going to get to in a second. But there are so-called right-wingers on the march talking about illegal immigration from Bangladesh, forced conversions, love jihad, a term used by Hindu nationalists who allege Muslim men are marrying and converting Hindu women as part of a campaign, etc.
So that would be the two biggest countries in the world making up, roughly a third of the world's population, where the government tells you how many kids you can have, something that we can't even imagine in the United States and shouldn't. The idea of the government telling us how many kids we can have.
Right, right. And I think this Indian politician is mostly pandering to some of those fears I was talking about. But it's crazy anybody would propose it. I mean, this is kind of an aside to the point I wanted to make, but You know, China's a beautiful example of how central planning doesn't work. They had too much population. They couldn't feed everybody. People were starving like crazy. So they said you can only have one kid. Well, by the time they noticed that the demographic trends were heading in a disastrous direction, and the great central planners, the technocrats, those we must trust, by the time they figured out, we got to have more kids. Everybody start having more kids. Well, like all central planners everywhere, they grossly overestimate their own wisdom and their own power to shape events. Because China has developed a culture of childlessness, or of one child and all the resources in a family going toward one child. Or kids are growing up thinking, I'm not going to have any kids anyway, it doesn't matter. So they have a culture of childlessness. And all the central planning in the world isn't going to undo it. And China's demographic disaster has already begun. And honestly, every time people talk about how they're going to take over the world, I try to remind them, their population is going to start plunging in about a decade. In fact, it's already started to shrink. Anyway, getting back to my main thread. Ethnic, religious, call it racial hatred and tension, are driving Indian politics to a large extent. Now, Michael, if you could do me a favor and play for me clip number 48. This is Brett Baer from Special Report.
Marine Corps Lance Corporal David Lee Espinosa of Rio Bravo, Texas. Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole G. of Sacramento, California. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Darren Hoover of Salt Lake City, Utah. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem Nikoy of Norco, California. Army Staff Sergeant Ryan Naus of Corryton, Tennessee. Marine Corps Corporal Hunter Lopez of Indio, California. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCollum of Jackson, Wyoming. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Dylan Marola of Rancho Cucamonga, California. Marine Corps Corporal Dagan Page of Omaha, Nebraska. Marine Corps Sergeant Johnny Rosario Pachardo of Lawrence, Massachusetts. Marine Corps Corporal Umberto Sanchez of Logansport, Indiana. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz of St. Charles, Missouri. And Navy Hospitalman Corpsman Maxton Sabayak of Berlin Heights, Ohio. God bless those soldiers and Marines.
I don't know if you, like me, when you're hearing the list of the names or looking at the pictures, noted something fairly notable. You have Sergeant Pichardo. You have Nicole G. You have people who are obviously of the Muslim faith. You have Hoovers and Lopez's and Sanchez's. You have Espinoza's and Schmitz. You have McCollum's. You have Marola's. You have Soviak's. Kareem M. Nikau. I apologize to the family. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. God bless him. You have virtually every ethnicity, every national origin, every religion you can think of. And as one of my closest friends in high school and college, the late, great Jeffrey Scott Taylor, who was a United States Marine, would tell me, we're all green, man, in the Corps. We're all green. And I will just tell you that there are forces in America, including in most of our schools, who are trying desperately to turn us into a tribal society, trying to use the sins of yesteryear and some of the sins of today to turn us into a society that sees only color and only tribe. And, you know, I don't know if you're retired or you got plenty of money or your kids are grown or whatever, but if you are looking for something to dedicate your life to, stopping that would be a pretty good choice, in my opinion. End of rant.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
Joe Manchin, he's the Democratic senator that really keeps, boy, he's the only thing that keeps Bernie Sanders' entire agenda from getting passed through the Senate. And us suffering under it. Joe Manchin, Democrat from Virginia, because he's in a very red state, but he's a Democrat, and he thinks a little differently. But he said this.
You know, let me throw this in real quick. I'd also salute Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona for being a very independent Democrat. She deserves some credit.
Yeah, credit. So I always wonder about that. So do they get credit for being independent thinkers, or are they just doing what a lot of politicians do? If they want to keep their job, they have to do this. Joe Manchin, he gets, if he was a Bernie Sanders Democrat, he wouldn't be a senator anymore. So I never can tell if politicians are doing anything brave or smart or visionary, or if they're just plain looking at the polls and doing what, you know, keeps them in their seat.
Yeah, it's a fair question.
It's hard to tell. Say. But anyway, Joe Manchin said this about the whole climate change, global warming, you know, electric cars, everything on one of the talk shows this weekend.
My concern is basically being realistic and being practical about what's going on in the world. Within the next 10 years, 90% of pollution is going to come from one continent, Asia. And China's going to have 3,500 coal-fired plants. In America, they make you believe we only have 504. There's 6,600 operating, they're building another 1,063, none in America. And they're telling, make you think that, well, if you get rid of all the coal-fired plants, it basically solves the pollution. It doesn't.
Well, it's a big signal to the rest of the world, and
the rest of the world's not going in that direction. We're the only country. If we get out of the fossil business, there will not be any R&D, research and development. We have $12 billion for carbon capture sequestration. If you don't do that, you're not going to save the climate.
So those are the two camps on this whole thing with global warming, and I'm sure as hell glad Joe Manchin, who happens to live in a coal state, feels the way he does about this. Some of you think, well, we need to be the leaders. We need to lead on this by, okay, now I'm throwing in pejoratives, destroying our freaking economy by going electric cars and all that sort of stuff. China doesn't give a crap. India doesn't give a crap. And as he just said, the 90% of it's going to come from other countries. So it's not, we aren't even going to make a dent in global warming. But some of you believe, well, we need to be the leaders and we'll convince other people it's the right thing to do. I think you're completely unicorn riding the 5-year old on this.
And you hinted at it, but to state it explicitly, we've also returned to dependence on some really malign foreign powers for our energy, which that sucks.
I heard a guy on NPR the other day, and he wasn't trying to make a conservative point. Is it conservative and liberal on this stuff? Maybe. But
to me, it's realist and unicorn rider.
He wasn't trying to make the Joe Manchin point on this about electric cars, but he was. He was making the argument that most electric cars in the country, California is the only exception. And California, by the way, if you don't know this, can't keep its electricity on if it's windy or if it gets too hot. If it gets too hot, we don't have enough electricity for everybody. We have to buy it from other states. And if they happen to be hot, too, we don't have enough. So the one exception about electric cars, you know, is got a giant asterisk next to it. But this guy in NPR was making the point that, look, people feel good about themselves driving electric cars in various places in the country. They are no better for the environment than the gas car. And he went through the examples of how the coal needs to be burnt to make the electricity for the electric car to work. We've jokingly called electric cars coal-powered cars because they are. Only in California is that not true, but California can't even keep its lights on. So, that's not setting an example that it's doable.
If they suddenly were to triple the number of electric cars sold in California, that would enormously tax the grid. That would be a serious problem. I don't know. Just like I say, it's about realism. It's funny. In a similar vein, I just came across this article from the Wall Street Journal. Listen to this. And I'm not a cynic about fossil fuels and renewable energy. I'm a realist.
No, we're going to have to stop driving gas-powered cars. It'll happen. But they're going to have to figure out the whole coal-powered electric car thing. That's got to be solved. Probably nuclear. I think that's the best way to go.
The funniest example of that sort of thing I've ever come across is solar panels. It's unintentionally hilarious. It's tragifarious. It's tragic. It's hilarious. And I'll tell you about it in a second after a quick word from our friends at Simply Safe. Chad and Eleanor Lawrence designed the first Simply Safe system in their kitchen because their friend had gotten their home broken into and they were struggling to find a security system that's simple enough to set up and use and not like incredibly expensive. So they invented Simply Safe, which has now won all sorts of awards for being simple. Yeah, but effective. Oh, and they've got great people too.
Yeah, there's salesmen out there from other companies that are going to try to convince you that you need this really expensive, complicated system, and five workmen are going to come to your house and wire up the whole place and everything like that. No, Simply Safe has won all kinds of awards as being the best security system out there, but it's super simple to set up. You just go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. You click around and customize it for your home. Ordered. It comes to you. You set it up yourself in 30 minutes. And then you've got the contact with fire, burglary, medical emergency help, and help setting up the system if you need it.
They're always there for you. Visit simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to lose. Go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Use that code to get that free camera. simplysafe.com/Armstrong. All right, so here you have it. It's the unintentionally hilarious situation with solar panels. Solar panel installations surging in the U.S. and Europe. Western countries are seeking to cut their reliance on fossil fuels. Here's the funny part. China is by far the world leader in solar panels. Did you know that the industry of solar panel production is incredibly energy intensive, and the vast majority of that energy comes from carbon dioxide belching coal burning plants in China?
China! So it's kind of like the how much you know, bad stuff happens, has to happen to make the plastic bags at the grocery store that right. keep you from using the paper bag that would be cutting down trees. There's a hole in the sky once a tree once stood. Somebody's making money. Do we have it? Come on, stand up on your feet.
Everybody sing.
Everybody. So,
yeah, it's very similar to that. Concerns are mounting in U.S. and Europe that solar industry's reliance on Chinese coal will create a big increase in emissions in the coming years as manufacturers rapidly scale up production of solar panels to meet demand. That would make the solar industry one of the world's most prolific polluters, analysts say,
wow.
undermining some of the emissions reductions achieved from widespread adoption. Could be it's a net negative, so at least for now.
So again, yeah, I agree. You don't want to just come off as a knee-jerk cynic. There's no way to improve on 20th century ways of powering things. No, of course there are. But you don't want to be a knee-jerk unicorn riding idiot either, in that solar and wind are automatically good, or carrying your cloth bag to the store is saving trees, when they do, you know, the math on that and figure out, no, the amount of water that needs to be used and the electricity and everything to make the cloth bag is actually worse than the tree you cut down because there's a hole in
What's
the sky.
That hole in the sky where the tree once was? Somebody's making money. There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was. Somebody's making money.
On your face. Nice. There's all kinds of, to think these things through. I guess that'd be my only point, our only point. Make sure you think these things completely through so it's actually a benefit before you start denying people the right to have a plastic straw or a paper bag at the grocery store or force us into electric cars or whatever.
Well, what's especially frustrating is a guy who roots for the United States and her people to have jobs, for instance, and to continue to lead the world. It's not coincidental that China leads the world in solar panel production. And, oh, by the way, they do a lot of coal-fired electrical plants. No, their use of low-cost coal-fired electricity has given the country's solar panel manufacturers a competitive advantage, allowing them to dominate global markets.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That is incredible. So that
we can make your panels for you 20% cheaper because we belch filth into the sky. It's a deal.
But that's really the point the lefty was making on NPR. And again, he was making my point. He had different solutions, was that forcing all these car manufacturers into electric cars to make electric cars that the public doesn't want, by the way. Unless you come up with a solution to where the electricity comes from, we're not accomplishing anything.
Let's see. Scientists say installing Chinese-made panels almost always result in a net reduction over time because the panels are usually replacing electricity generated from fossil fuels, but it's several years before it offsets the emissions. So you could make the argument it's still a net positive, but it takes years. Oh, by the way, the Biden administration, part of that, it's $1 trillion, it's $550 billion in new spending, but the infrastructure plan, I think they were spending $50 billion on tens of thousands of charging stations across the country, whether they're needed or not. Because, you know, it's not a chicken and the egg thing. You're not going to get an electric car if there are no charging stations anywhere near you. So they're trying to gin up the popularity of electric cars thereby.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
I got my fancy pants on.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I wanted to play something for you. It's just, it's so good and so eloquent. First of all, let's hear from Ilhan Omar, who is an America-hating radical who hates the Constitution, swore an oath to it, but would burn it the first chance she got, in clip 80.
As long as our economy and political systems prioritize profit without considering who is profiting, who is being shut out, we will perpetuate this inequality. So we cannot stop at criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it.
Well, you are a full-on Marxist.
Yeah, she's
or communist.
And an enthusiastic totalitarian. Absolutely. The government must be in charge of who gets what. And why, in every aspect of it. She's crazy. Well, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, who you may be familiar with, she is a Somali Dutch American activist. She talks a lot about women's rights in the Islamic world. A brilliant writer. She's fought against forced marriage, honor killing, female genital mutilation, child marriage, the rest of it. And is a great believer in liberty. And recently she did an interview where she was talking about Ilhan Omar and some of the other members of the squad and their attitudes. And I think what's important about this especially is this is a black woman, an African woman, a woman, an immigrant. And she puts a lie, a big, giant L-I-E, to the notion that those people of color who lecture us from left-wing media speak for everybody. They don't, not even close. In fact, they speak for a tiny minority of people who happen to be so vicious that they will ruin your career or get you run out of your school or whatever. So they are outsized in their influence because they're vicious, but they do not speak for all black people, for all people of color in America. Not even close. Anyway, Ayaan Hirsi Ali is responding to the squad and statements like we just heard from Ilhan Omar. We'll start with 81 and roll on.
I listened to someone like Ilhan Omar, and she's in Congress, the United States Congress, and she's saying, well, why don't we dismantle the whole thing, the economic system, the political system? And it makes you wonder, why flee from Mogadishu? Why flee from anarchy? Why flee from oppression? And then come to the United States and then do all your best to turn Minnesota and the U.S. into Mogadishu. It's one of the things that I'd like to ask her.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, she gets to say that because she is a black woman, and she has more to say. Clip 82.
I don't think we need a revolution, and I think these movements, and Ilhan is just one of these people who are symbolizing that and who are the faces of that. I think we need to resist and to say, look, you've come to America in search of freedom. You've come to America in search of equality. We find it here. Our system is not perfect. We can fix it, and we do it through conversations. And what we are seeing these days is a very loud, in my view, minority who are saying, let us not seek solutions through the system we have, but let's dismantle it. And I am passionately against it.
Why not? Here's more from the eloquent Ayaan Hirsi Ali, clip 83.
Again, we have to find solutions, and I think we can. Remember, the United States of America is only 244 years old. It is the one nation that has abolished slavery. It is the one nation that has stood up for civil rights and has passed laws and has allocated huge resources to achieving, or at least aspiring to achieve, full equality. I do not believe in guaranteeing equality of outcomes. I believe in equality of opportunity. And it's the only nation today in the world, and has been for a long time, where you can seek equal opportunity and where that is encouraged, it's urged. I know so many philanthropists right now who want to invest in that.
Well, and finally, what do you do if you're intimidated, you're bullied by the extremist left, and you're not sure what to do? She has a suggestion.
I think we should reject and stand up to crazy people who are saying that our system, the United States of America, you know, our America is made up of systemic racism. If there's one phrase that really makes me go mad, in like very angry, it's that word used against America. The American Constitution, the American system, in fact, gives us all an argument to strive and to aspire to make things better. So the Ilhan Omars of this world, the Ocasio-Cortezes of this world, I think they need to take time out and travel in the real world, other countries where you don't have that, where there are really bad systems.
You know, what occurs to me listening to her, what we have is a systemic resistance to racism. That's what we have in our system. It has stood up firmly, better and better and better, against the fairly natural human impulse to prefer people like you, which is, you know, like I say, it's universal. It's not necessarily great, and we need to resist it and make sure nobody's rights are ever violated. But our entire system is fighting against that impulse. We need to strengthen it. We need to adjust it. We need to work within it. But the idea that we need to tear it down and build a Marxist utopia like Ilhan Omar wants? No, thank you, sister. We got a pretty good country over here. Thanks for coming from Somalia and lecturing us on how to run a country, but no thanks.
Now, I get how people who grow up in the United States, always with enough food for almost everybody, never having to worry about, the secret police coming into your home or being at war or any of these things, have an opportunity. I understand how if you grow up in this country, you focus on the imperfections until you're old enough to understand. I have no idea how you get here from another country, especially a sucky one, an asshole one, how you get here and want to attack our imperfections. That's a weird twisting of the mind there.
It's a relative rarity, too.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Yeah, I just think she's a Marxist. I just think she's a political kook.
It's like when I told the story at the time, when I was at the jewelry store, must have been a year ago, I was buying something at the jewelry store, and the guy was from someplace in the Middle East, and I don't remember where. The guy runs a jewelry store, owns a place, and his kids work there, and he said, in this country, you get pulled over by the police, you're not worried they're going to drag you out of the car and beat you in the street just for the heck of it. He said, I don't worry about that. He said, in my country, it happened all the time.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that reminds me, MSB. Mohammed bin Salman over in Saudi Arabia. He's really cracking down on the clerics and the power of, like, fundamentalist Islam in general. He's even making them turn down the volume of, like, the call to prayer and the broadcasting of the prayers out of the speakers on the mosques. He's making them turn down the volume by, is it, like, two-thirds or something like that? That's an interesting move. The angry wackadoos in the streets of your sand countries who are so mad at the U.S. there for a little while, I wonder if they're going to turn against the Saudi regime again.
I don't know. Good question.
That was old Osama bin Laden's original motivation, right? Dislike of the Saudi regime?
Yep, absolutely.
Armstrong and Getty.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.